Today on Annenberg Radio News.
A soldier swears this credo, that he will fight all enemies at home and abroad. So I am fighting an enemy at home.
This Veterans Day, veterans say loving your country isn't the same thing as agreeing with it. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for November 10th, 2011. I'm Regina Graham. A state assembly member and a police officer are facing off for an L.A. City Council seat this January. Warren Furutani and Joe Biscaino got the most votes Tuesday in the 15th District, which spans from Watts to San Pedro. Now they're gearing up for a runoff election. Ariel Edwards-Levy spoke to both candidates.
It's a familiar political matchup, the veteran legislator versus the up-and-comer. Right now, the latter has an edge. Police officer Joe Biscaino has never run for office before, but he came in first on Tuesday, earning 29% of the vote. I asked him if voters are looking for a change.
They want to see a new generation of leadership. They want to see some fresh eyes, fresh ears, fresh ideas to get the city back on track, especially our council district 15 down here. I've made it clear to the voters and the people of this district that I was up against the establishment. I was up against the political machine.
If you're elected, you're going to be working within that political machine to get a lot of this done. Are you prepared to do that?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm anxious. I can't wait. I'm going to be surrounding myself with the best and brightest staff in the city of Los Angeles. At the end of the day, it's the people who have come together to fight the political establishment, to see in me and to see in my campaign that we have a true leader. We have an independent voice for the people who will fight for the people of this district and City Hall.
Are there specific issues that you're looking to tackle affecting your district?
Absolutely. You know, I've been a police officer for LAPD for the last 15 years. My experience, again, is on the ground. The experience out in the streets of dealing with poverty, of dealing with a lack of economic justice throughout this district, of experiencing the fact that we can do better in providing city services across the district. Let's put people back to work. We have a water line here in the Port of Los Angeles, this waterfront that has not been developed in decades. We developed this waterfront, we put people back to work, and make the destination for the people of California. In addition, we need to ensure that the city is more business friendly. Businesses are failing and they're leaving. They're leaving the city, they're leaving the state. And if any of these districts know, it's Council District 15.
Joe Biscaino, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
I also spoke to State Assembly Member Warren Furutani. He says he's confident in his chances for the runoff.
I'm feeling very good about it, just from the standpoint of when you have 11 candidates and only two of them end up in the runoff, and there's a lot of votes out there that haven't committed to anybody. We've used the strategy of running in the whole 15th district. We clearly understand how important San Pedro is on the south end, but we are campaigning from Watts to the Harbor Gateway to Harbor City, Wilmington, and San Pedro.
Do you think that there are very different issues in the different parts of the district that you're hoping to represent?
There are very different issues, and then there's a lot of common issues ranging from basic neighborhood quality of life, things like not having people dump in the alleys or making sure that our trees and sidewalks and potholes, all those things that aren't that sexy but so important in people's lives. I think also, though, in terms of looking at the issues of creating jobs and economic development, again, across the board, but they're going to manifest themselves differently in each area.
And what would you say the biggest differences are between you and your opponent? What would you do differently if elected?
I'm an experienced elected official. If you look at my endorsements, I'm going to be able to hit the ground running from the standpoint of working with people in the city council, working with the mayor who's endorsed me, working with the state level and the federal level.
So you think that coming in as an insider rather than an outsider is an advantage for you?
Well, people will talk about insider, outsider. To me, it's about experience. It's about looking at how I can work with people and have successfully been able to get things to happen and make them happen. So inside or outside or whatever term people want to use, I'm talking about experience. I'm talking about a track record of getting it done. And I think we need that, particularly during these very difficult times.
Assemblymember, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Both candidates have pledged to stay positive during the race. The runoff is January 17th.
The Occupy Cal movement in Berkeley is holding a march today to protest big banks. This march comes the day after police arrested 39 protesters. Things got out of hand when police officers tried to take down a small encampment on the UC Berkeley campus. It was quiet today at Occupy LA, 43 days into the occupation on the lawn of City Hall. It's been long enough that it seems like part of the landscape. The on-scene protest had its beginnings online. From the tweets to the streets, Kyle to Buena Frawley follows a social media trail that led them today.
If this is a protest, we'd be surprised that this is a revolution. This is according to Heidi Sulzdorf, a leader who was there from the start.
I came home, was upset that there was nothing going on in Los Angeles, so was following Twitter.
She was at a panel talk on the movement Monday, flanked by academics and community leaders. And to understand just how big she is to Occupy LA, let's rewind to summer, right when Spain is blowing up in protest. She's at home, trolling the net, and sees this post for a solidarity protest on Olvera Street. She's pumped, heads out, but as you can hear on YouTube, the protest she finds isn't exactly Tahrir Square. She goes home upset, logs on, and
saw someone else who was in Los Angeles who was also frustrated that nothing was happening here. And she had posted a little URL to a tiny chat room.
Tiny chat room's a website conversation between multiple webcams all at the same time.
And there were probably 20, 30 of us there the first night. We were really excited. And so we had two general assemblies in virtual space on tiny chat.
But their boiling anger was silent on the web.
So we ditched that. And we met first, the first night we met was the 23rd of September at Pershing Square at 5 o'clock.
This is what's important. As much as she relied on Reddit, Twitter, Tiny Chat, Facebook, Flickr, and YouTube to connect up with people, nothing connects people more than meeting face-to-face. And so they did.
I think we spent 10 days meeting every single night, talking about what we were going to do, how we were going to start our occupation. And from there, we made the decision to occupy October 1st at City Hall, did some outreach, and got on the ground. That's how it all started here.
Tomorrow? The occupation, day 42. Kyle Tabuena Frawley, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 53. Friday, we will see more clouds with a high of 71. Expect some more chilly weather this weekend with possible showers on Saturday, followed by highs in the 60s on Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, 11-11-11, special date or just a lot of hype? Getting around Los Angeles without your own set of wheels just got a little easier. Car sharing company Zipcar announced today that it's opening a regional office in LA. But Zipcar will have a little competition soon. Electric car company Coda is also moving in. Aaron Schrank has more.
The LA area is famous for its congested freeways and long commutes. Angelenos spend more time trapped in traffic than any other drivers around the nation. Slipping air quality and wasted work hours are among the costs of the city's car culture. Polls show that more than two-thirds of Southern California voters want expansion of public transportation options. But rather than working to eliminate LA's car culture, city officials are seeking to revamp it by encouraging companies that manufacture all-electric vehicles to set up shop in the city. Today, electric car maker Coda opened its global headquarters in Los Angeles, just weeks after Chinese company BYD based its North American operations there. The city is providing tax incentives to companies like Coda and BYD, hoping to make LA the home of the electric car. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says companies like Coda are a step towards a cleaner, greener city.
When I had the audacity to say that LA, the city with the dirtiest air, the city with more congestion than any city in the country, a city addicted, frankly, to the single passenger automobile, a city with the dirtiest public utility in the United States of America, when I had the audacity to say we were going to be the cleanest, greenest big city in the country, everybody smirked.
Some people may still be smirking, given California's budget concerns. Governor Jerry Brown admitted the state budget due in January will prove challenging.
But in the midst of austerity, we also need dynamic innovation. And that's what COTA is. That's why we're here. We're saying yes to solar, yes to COTA, yes to a Los Angeles that's on the move, on the rails. We'll have a high-speed rail in no time. Just give me $70 or $80 billion and we'll get that too.
That too may be wishful thinking, since the California High-Speed Rail Authority recently said it would cost $98 billion to build a high-speed rail in the state. And here in L.A., the mayor's pushing to double the size of the city's rail system and retouch roads. Electric cars won't fix the roads, but COTA says Chairman Steve Heller will save the state $74 billion. He says California drivers would pay $8 billion more per year in electricity, but save $82 billion in gasoline costs. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
The organic food industry seems to be growing quickly, according to new studies. And one standout sector has emerged gluten-free products. Julia Dang reports.
LA has long been known for vegan cafes, raw food trends, and organic supermarkets. But Holistic Chamber of Commerce Director Camille Leon says gluten-free is now taking over.
Gluten-free was originally thought of as an answer to celiac disease. And, you know, so, well, gosh, I don't have celiac disease, so why would I choose gluten-free foods? But a lot of people have found that even if they've never been tested for it, once they start eating a gluten-free diet, they're just healthier.
Gluten-free has become quite a significant segment, starting from almost nothing a few years ago.
Bob Hermans is the executive director of USC's food industry programs. He, too, sees gluten-free products on the rise.
You've got folks like General Mills who have a gluten-free version of Cheerios. So gluten-free has gone mainstream, as well as being a niche segment, if you will.
A new Organic Trade Association study shows gluten-free sales in the U.S. have doubled in the past 5 years. And according to Hermans, part of that growth goes back to medical reasons.
When one person in a family is diagnosed as gluten intolerant, generally speaking, that family begins a diet that is primarily gluten-free. So that has given rise to further growth of gluten-free products.
While healthy choices are certainly a priority, Camille Leon says many people have an even more pressing concern.
How can I eat healthier, and is it affordable?
For many in L.A., expensive gluten-free products are far out of reach. Kim Siapno from the Hollywood Farmers Market tries to target these people.
Most of our farmers market are actually in these low-income areas where it's kind of hard to actually be able to get access to some of the local produce and fresh, you know, meats and veggies and fruits and things like that.
Siatno says they're aiming to educate, not just feed, people in these areas.
We do a lot of nutritional education classes. We have a program called Bueno Cocina, which actually what they do is go out to the lower income communities and actually teach the low income community how to properly read nutritional labels.
Whether it's learning the basics of what you're eating or choosing to pay more for trendy gluten-free foods, healthier eating appears to be on the rise. Julia Dang, Annenberg Radio News.
The United States Senate voted to keep current net neutrality rules. In a 52-46 vote along party lines, Senate Democrats beat back a Republican effort to consider a House bill that would overturn regulations passed by the Federal Communications Commission. Melissa Runnels explains.
Net neutrality is the idea that your internet should work like the highways. You can drive where you want, when you want, how far you want, and you shouldn't be charged more money to drive it, say, 65 miles an hour than at 55. In the same way, net neutrality says you should be able to visit any legal website you want whenever you want, and one site shouldn't cost more to visit than another. Companies like Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast, who control internet access, want to charge more for sites that use a lot of data, like streaming movies or downloading music. If they can't charge more, they want to be able to slow down access speeds. They say this will keep the lanes open, so to speak. But net neutrality supporters like Free Press, a national media reform group, say killing net neutrality would let the big telecom companies make it expensive or inconvenient for people to access full services. Craig Aaron is president of Free Press.
What net neutrality does is actually prevents these big companies from being gatekeepers. And without it, suddenly a Comcast, a Verizon, an AT&T, they're the ones getting to decide what works on the web and what doesn't.
Aaron also says that killing net neutrality might even allow the big content providers to steer traffic away from competitor sites to their own for movies, Skype-like services, and more. Although the legislature won't take up the issue again anytime soon, with lawsuits for and against net neutrality already filed, the fight over net neutrality will be heading to the courts. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Melissa Runnels.
Tomorrow's Veterans Day, the day we celebrate the sacrifices made for our country by our men and women of service. But dedicating years to the armed forces does not mean unwavering support the government. Many veterans are participating in the Occupy movement. Producer Sarah Golden headed down to Occupy LA to talk to some veterans.
My friends call me Link, known as Lawrence Hagman. I've served during Desert Shield. I was a 19 Delta Reconnaissance Scout, 1989 to 1992. I'm kind of proud to have been a soldier, but, you know, during the time I was in, it looked like an oil profit, war. It didn't look like we were saving anybody, and now it's been a 20-year war, 20 years. I feel like I'm actually, we want to change a corrupt, bad system. We're being taxed at every step, every turn you go, every left, right, wherever you go, whatever you do. Life just costs so much nowadays.
A soldier swears this credo, that he will fight all enemies at home and abroad. So I am fighting an enemy at home.
My name is Brian Seligman. I'm 41 years old. I did serve in the Marine Corps. I got my parents to sign before I graduated high school. There are a number of veterans here. We've all been kind of stepped on and kicked down and not treated fairly by especially large banks and many other large businesses. We find ourselves even working unable to pay the rent or unable to feed our family. We need to fix not just the economic issues but also the social issues.
That was Sarah Golden talking to veterans at Occupy LA. Now we check in with Rhiannon Trutanis to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rhiannon?
Police have a person of interest in the hit-and-run accident involving a USC student. And we spoke with a Penn State student who was at last night's rally. And the Dodgers' Operation Gratitude, which is in honor of Veterans Day, where they gave care packages to military children. You can watch ATVN on Trojan Vision at 6 p.m. or catch us on the web at atvn.org.
Thanks, Rhiannon. Tomorrow is Veterans Day and 11-11-11. For more on both, check out our website at annenbergradio.org. For more stories from today, including a vote to keep net neutrality alive, visit our website at annenbergradio.org. Tomorrow isn't only Veterans Day, it's also 11-11-11.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. Oh. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And amps go up to 10.
These go to 11.
For those inclined to believe in the power of numbers, 11, 11, 11 is a big deal, although whether it's the luckiest day of the year or an evil omen depends on who you ask. Reporter Maddie Lindsay hit the streets to see if people believe the hype.
Are you guys aware that it is the date 11-11-11 tomorrow?
I actually hadn't thought about that.
Of course I'm aware. 11's my favorite number. And like everyone's been waiting for this day since forever.
It's a very special day because it's just like the significance of like every time 11-11 time is on, you make a wish and usually that wish comes true. So that day makes it even extra.
Let me tell you what happened last 11-11 in 1911.
To hear more, check out annenbergradio.org. That's it for today. I'm Regina Graham. Thank you for listening.